We are here at the threshold of Holy Week. Symbolically, we are at the threshold or at the gates of the city of Jerusalem, because once we get to Holy Week, we enter into the city and participate in all that happened there in Holy Week. The sad thing, of course, is that because of the lockdown, there aren't any gatherings, and nobody's joining any processions or any devotions this week. So we have to do it spiritually or virtually. Even this Mass is being broadcast virtually if the signal is still working. So if you're still with us, thanks be to God. In the readings, you'll notice a tension that actually exists throughout the Old Testament, especially the tension between gathering the people together and scattering them. So many times the Jews were scattered, exiled, and so many times God promised to gather them together again. So today's first reading is one of these great prophecies of gathering the scattered flock. And in today's gospel, there's a concern about what will happen. Will the Romans come and destroy us, scatter us? Or will everyone be united as one? In reflecting on this, I thought of a little story from our early history in the Anuim community. This goes back, maybe 35 years. One of the phenomena that happened in Anuim as we started to grow was this question about how to remain united. We were never very big, of course. But in the 80s, we started to spread out a little bit from Corning into different parts of upstate New York, and then even to New Jersey, and even to New York City, which seemed at the time like that was very far away. Sister Barbara might remember this, because Father Francis and Sister Barbara had an ongoing argument about what to do with the more distant members of the community. Father Francis's concern was that everyone should be gathered together. We should get together, have a meeting. We can ponder together. We can have some kind of a physical face-to-face gathering. And Sister Barbara's idea was, no, the community has to spread out. It has to grow. It has to go to new places and reach new people. And so they had many, many arguments about this, whether to focus on physical gathering, what Father Francis called comprehension, deepening together, or extension, bringing the gift we have out to others. Now, of course, both of them had a legitimate point. We have to keep growing in the one spirituality, and we also have to continue to give it and let it spread. But Father Francis represented the gathering emphasis, and Sister Barbara represented the extension. Now, that's not the same as scattering, but Father Francis used to be concerned that the Anuim were being scattered. One of the things that really struck Father Francis, I think this was in the late 1980s, although I don't remember exactly. One of the things that really struck him was when St. John Paul II prayed a rosary with people from many different parts of the world. Father Francis called it the satellite rosary. I don't know what the Pope called it, but the satellite rosary. There might even have been people here in Manila, part of that rosary, but there were people in centers praying the rosary at the same time. Now, this is before the internet or anything, so it was gathered through a satellite hookup of some kind. But everybody was praying together one rosary simultaneously. And Father Francis saw that as a spiritual way, what we would now call a virtual way, of being gathered together, even though scattered all over the globe. One of the fruits of the pandemic, as we know, is that the church has been forced to use this kind of method to be united. We're doing it right here. If people are still, if you're still with us online, I can't tell, of course. But the church was forced to figure out ways for people to gather in prayer. So people join together in the Mass, even though they're not physically in the same place. In fact, they could even be on the other side of the world. We do the same with the rosary now. We have these virtual rosaries. People can be in many different places, very far apart, and yet praying the rosary together by means of technology. Now, virtual gatherings are not exactly the same as spiritual unity, but it's a good symbol of the spiritual unity. We don't have to be physically together in one place all the time. Let's look at these readings in light of this idea of how we can be gathered. The prophecy in Ezekiel is that God will gather together the children of the Lord, the children of Israel, and bring them back to one place, meaning Jerusalem, where there will be one sanctuary, there will be one people, there will be one shepherd. And it has very tangible details here. So of course the Jews understood it to mean the Holy Land and the Holy City and the Holy Temple. Now, the prophecy was addressed to people in exile, people who were scattered, people to whom there seemed to be no hope at all of being united again. But here is the prophet speaking the word of the Lord and saying they will be together, and my servant David will be their prince forever, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with them. So the expectation of the Jews was, okay, sometime the Lord is going to send a Messiah who will gather everyone back from the different nations and will be living together, if not in the city of Jerusalem, at least in the Holy Land, Israel and Judah. Not two kingdoms, but one kingdom. At the time of today's gospel, now this is right after the raising of Lazarus from the dead, so this is right before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What's striking about that period of human history is that what was uniting everyone was the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had established a kind of unity among the nations of the time. You might have heard of the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana was peace established by the Roman Empire. Now, it wasn't a peace that everybody welcomed, but at least they weren't fighting because Rome was dominating the whole empire. So if anything was uniting people, it was Rome, and Rome was pagan, a pagan empire. Along comes Jesus, doing astounding miracles, including raising Lazarus from the dead. He could hardly come up with a more amazing work of God. Lazarus comes up out of the tomb, and he can tell people he was dead and now he's alive. And so many people are putting their faith in Jesus as the promised Messiah, the one who's going to gather everyone together. The chief priests and the Pharisees of the Sanhedrin are very concerned about this. What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him. Tama, yeah, tama. We'll all believe, and that's exactly what should have happened. But their response is, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation. Their fear is, because of Jesus, they will be scattered. Exactly the wrong interpretation. Because of Jesus, we can be gathered. And then Caiaphas, the high priest, speaks up and gives this prophecy. John identifies it as a prophecy. Caiaphas actually has something evil in mind, but John points out the prophetic quality. that it's better for one man to die for the nation than for the whole nation to perish. It's both false and true. It's false in this sense. It's not better to kill one man for the sake of the nation. It's never right to do evil in order to achieve something good. But it's true in this sense. Jesus is the one, and he is not simply killed. He is making an offering of his life. And that's very good. That's the greatest love. So on one hand, it's the greatest evil to kill God. On the other hand, it's the greatest good for God to reveal the greatest love. What is going to be the fruit of Jesus laying down his life? He's going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. There it is. The prophecy will be fulfilled when Jesus lays down his life to gather the dispersed children of God. So this is how God's plan will be fulfilled. What's very striking about this is that God's plan continues to unfold even in the midst of, and even through the means of, the sins of men, the wickedness of Caiaphas and those who plot to kill Jesus. Even though they intend evil, God still intends it for good. God still will bring out good. No matter what. It doesn't mean that the people who do evil will benefit from the good, because that they're scattered children of God. They don't want to be gathered. But God will gather together anyone who's willing to follow. And he will do it even by means of the evil actions of others. So what we see as evil, we can identify, yes, as evil, but we cannot conclude that that evil stops God from working. The pandemic is not a moral evil. There might be a lot of moral evil involved in it, but I mean, the diseases are not to be blamed on the sin of anyone necessarily, but it is an evil. The pandemic's an evil. It's a scourge, a plague, and God is using it to bring out good. He's always using everything to bring out good. So if he can bring good out of the wickedness of Caiaphas and all those who plotted to kill Jesus, he can bring good out of anything. He even brings good out of our own sin. Not that we can sin in order to bring about good. That's God's business. But God is not stopped by sin. Will Jesus come to the feast? Of course he will come, because the hour has come. The question at the end of today's gospel is, will he come? Will he come? Yes, he will come. And that's what we will celebrate this week. In fact, tomorrow, Palm Sunday, we will celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem and laying down his life for us all. That's what we will be pondering. In the meantime, let us put our trust in the power of God to gather us together with him. Gather us together, not physically in one place. We can't do that even in one chapel. Even our little community can't gather together anymore. No one in the Metro Manila area can gather anywhere anymore physically. But all of us can be gathered with the Lord. All of us can process into Jerusalem with palms and celebrate Jesus' victory. All of us can go to Calvary and look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We can look upon him whom we have pierced and see the love of God poured out for us. The love of God gathering us, not in one physical place, but in one spiritual place, the heart of the Father.